My name is Stacey Sedlowski. I have been a dietitian for over 20 years, and I was taught in a time period when there was basically one size fits all diet. You know, we should put every single person on this 1800 calorie day diet that was low in fat, as low as we could possibly get in fat, and even low in some carbohydrates. And I quickly realized when I graduated my internship that the information that I had been taught in school just was not, it wasn't successful. My patients were not succeeding with the information that I had been taught. So I got a little bit frustrated. I even kind of stopped counseling patients for a little while until my husband was diagnosed with Graves' disease, which is an autoimmune process, hyperthyroidism. I was sort of really sad at that point that I did not have information to recommend to him. I did not like the recommendations that the doctors were making to, you know, take his thyroid out or give him medicine that was really making him feel terrible. And so I went back to school to get my master's degree in human nutrition and functional medicine, which absolutely opened my eyes and really showed me how root cause medicine was the answer, and individualizing our recommendations for each unique person was really the way to go. Even after graduating that program, I still felt a little intimidated and overwhelmed. You know, we focused a lot on healing the gut, making, you know, the gut would be the root cause for almost every single condition and food sensitivity. But then I would get these calls from patients that had this list of chronic conditions, and healing the gut seemed to only get me so far. I was still sort of reaching this plateau where they got better, a little bit better from where they had started, but I still didn't feel like I was helping them achieve optimal health. When they would call me with this list of conditions that they were experiencing, and I would answer the phone, sort of, you don't know what you're going to get when you answer the phone, and they give you this information, I just kind of started to feel nervous because I thought, gosh, am I even able to help somebody like this? You know, will healing the gut be enough? And I'm already, you know, the third or fourth person that they're trying to ask for help from. And I would think, gosh, what am I going to do that's any different from the four people that they had already seen? And so I really started to dive deep into studying immunology because I recognized early on that there was inflammation at the root of every one of these chronic conditions. And if I could assess that inflammatory process and then heal the tissue that was being damaged in that inflammation, then that really gave me a step up amongst my peers. And I felt like I could truly bring my patients to a superior level of health. So I dug my head deep into the research and just studied immunology for about 2 years. I began to feel a little more confident with my patients, and I began to assess my patients from sort of a different perspective. And so I'm hoping to share a little bit of that with you guys today. So today's objectives are to discuss how we can use inflammation as our anchor in caring for patients, so that when you get those phone calls from a patient who will tell you that they have five different chronic conditions and all kinds of uncomfortable symptoms, you can immediately take a step back, assess where their inflammatory process is, the balance of their immune system, figure out what tissue is getting damaged in that inflammatory process, and what do you need to do to rebalance their immune system, heal the tissue that was damaged, and truly let this person feel their very best. We're going to discuss what is inflammation. We each describe inflammation in different ways to our patients. And if we can streamline this definition of inflammation, it can be more understandable. Our patients will always understand how, you know, something that they might not necessarily consider inflammation truly is inflammation, and how we can address this appropriately to make them feel better. Then we're going to talk about the connection between inflammation and autoimmunity. We're going to talk about how to care for a patient with all kinds of inflammation. We're going to talk about a step-by-step process. So IDN is my course that I created called Immunology for Dietitians and Nutritionists. And I'm going to go through a step-by-step process for assessing and addressing inflammation. And then finally, I'm going to talk about my 5R reimagined. So let's first talk about what is inflammation and how can we describe this to our patients in a way that is completely understandable. So if you look over here at the little boy sitting in the grass and you see his injury, you know that is a clear sign of external inflammation. I say external, it actually is because of something that's happening internally, but we can see it on the outside of his body and we know that's inflammation. The sort of the dictionary definition of inflammation is redness, heat, pain, and swelling. And you can see that right there on his knee. But really what is causing that is the rush of immune cells to that area to heal the injury. Now that is exactly the process of inflammation anywhere in the body. Anytime something triggers the immune system, immune cells will rush to that area, create redness, heat, swelling, and pain, and that is inflammation. So there are some things that happen internally that we know are considered inflammation. Let's say somebody has an ulcer in their gut. That is clearly the same thing that this boy is experiencing, except that it's internally versus external. But some less considered aspects of inflammation are things like what happens when a cell doesn't have the nutrients that it needs to carry out the electron transport chain, you know, the Krebs cycle, those processes that take place at the most, the cellular level. When there's a nutrient deficiency, that cell is going to start sending out inflammatory cytokines to say, this cell is in trouble. I can't continue the Krebs cycle, or even a cell that can't get enough glucose inside because of something called insulin resistance. That cell is going to start struggling. And when that cell starts sending out inflammatory cytokines and the immune system has to get involved, that is inflammation. So the way I describe inflammation is anything that triggers the immune system, anything that causes immune cells to rush to a certain area. Now that could certainly be an injury on this boy's knee. It could be an ulcer in somebody's gut, but it could also be a nutrient deficiency, insulin resistance, anything at the cellular level that is causing a challenge to the body is going to trigger the immune system and trigger inflammation. And if you could imagine inflammation on the outside of this boy's knee causes that type of pain, the same type of pain will occur when inflammation happens internally. So when somebody describes a pain in their gut, abdominal pain, joint pain, headaches, all of those are a result of the inflammation, of the immune system getting triggered, of immune cells having to rush and make room for themselves in an area where now all of a sudden water is going to come in, so it's going to get swollen in that area, and there's going to be pain. So you can start to understand how inflammation is not only at the root of every chronic condition, every cellular struggle that takes place in the body, but it also is associated with all the discomforts and pains and symptoms that your patients are describing to you. So yes, for sure, inflammation is at the root of every one of these conditions. Obesity, fat tissue sends out inflammatory cytokines. So there is an inflammatory process right there. In diabetes, when the cells cannot get the sugar that it need, that they need, or when there's too much sugar in the blood, inflammatory cytokines are going to be involved. The immune system is going to get triggered, and that's going to be an inflammatory process. If we skip down this list a little bit to osteoporosis, you know, osteoclasts are the cells in your bones that sort of eat up bone tissue and disintegrate or weaken your bones. And osteoclasts are a specific type of immune cell called a macrophage. So absolutely anything that is triggering the immune system is going to trigger the macrophage osteoclast in your bone, and that can lead to osteoporosis. So, you know, we have spent years telling people just take more calcium. You know, every single woman over a certain age is convinced they need to be taking 1200 milligrams per day of calcium. I'm not only not sure that that's helpful, I actually think that could be the really wrong advice to give to people. But what we do need to figure out as clinicians is what is triggering the immune system to trigger those osteoclasts to start to break down bone. And that can be anything that triggers the immune system that we don't necessarily associate with bone, like emotional stress or, insulin resistance and diabetes or a sedentary life or not enough sleep. I mean, all of those lifestyle factors that trigger inflammation can then trigger deterioration of the bone. So you can start to see how really we can relate inflammation to every one of these chronic conditions. And so when you start getting a handle on that, you can also feel very confident when patients call you and tell you that they have all of these different conditions, because now you can connect them all in your mind and you can say, yes, of course, your diabetes can easily be connected to your osteoporosis and then to your dysbiosis in the gut. I mean, all of these things are absolutely connected, and you can feel confident once you understand the immune process, how to address these things and truly, again, raise your patient's health to another level. So what are the roles of the immune system? It is to protect against external threats. You know, that's kind of the one we immediately think our immune system wants to protect us against: viruses and bacteria and toxins in the air, and even potentially harmful foods that we ingest. The immune system is also responsible for clearing tissue debris from injuries or damage. So, you know, you have this patient who may tell you that I have this injury years and years ago, and I have just never been able to use this joint the same way since. You can start to think, okay, well, there's probably some scar tissue in that area that the injury was in, and maybe we can help the immune system clear that tissue so that you don't have to feel that type of pain anymore. Another role of the immune system is to inhibit cancer cell growth. And we can talk a little bit about, how some of our recommendations could actually be impacting this in the wrong way and actually exposing or helping some people become a little more vulnerable to cancer cells because of some of the things, unfortunately, that we may be doing. And it's important for us to understand what not to do to help that, to not promote that to happen. Another piece of our immune system is to decide when the amount of viral load that is there, or bacterial dysbiosis, or even toxins, is a manageable level. And maybe we should be living in peace with it, because we don't want a hyperactive inflammatory process over everything. You know, we're going to be exposed to environmental toxins. We're always going to have viruses living within us and bacteria that live there. And there has to be an amount that our immune system says, yep, we're just going to be fine with this. We're not going to always have to fight, because that hyperactivity of the immune system could also be problematic. And I really want to emphasize that another piece to our immune system is to handle emotional stress. The physical inflammatory process that we experience from emotional stress is the exact same process that happens when there's an injury or a virus that the body is reacting to. These are all the same inflammatory cytokines triggering immune cells, whether this is an emotional stress that we are living in or a physical stress. So we're going to talk a little bit about that as well. So let me take a step back a minute and just talk about that inflammatory process that I keep referring to, because I think we sometimes get stuck in this thought process that inflammation is kind of just this one thing. And someone comes to us, they tell us they have inflammation, or we assume, or, you know, assess that they have inflammation, and we say, okay, here, we'll give you this one supplement to reduce inflammation, or maybe we'll give you a supplement to promote your immune system. And I think that we're sometimes using those terms in maybe not the most appropriate way. And here's why. So the inflammatory process or immune system is composed of many different types of cells. And if you can think about each of these cells as a different type of soldier, the first responders who are going to attack something from the minute you get exposed to it, or attack a challenge in the body from the minute it is recognized. So a nutrient deficiency, maybe a cell is sending out signals that that cell is in trouble. You have these first responders that want to react. And then we have all of these other soldiers involved in the process. You might have another cell or soldier that is calling out for help to bring new immune cells to this area so that there's more support. You might have another immune cell that decides, no, no, like you're not the right type of immune cell that has to be here. We need this other type of immune cell. So the person who's giving directions. Then you might have another soldier that wants to just fight a powerful war every single time and clear things out with the most powerful of response. And then you have an immune cell that wants to make peace and says, hey, we've had enough inflammation. Whatever is here right now, we can deal with. We don't need to continue this inflammatory process. So when we as clinicians are choosing a way to address inflammation, it's very important that we understand which part of the immune system or which immune cell is affecting this patient the most in this present moment, and how is our recommendation going to impact that immune process. So as an example, what if a person has an active viral load that the immune system is really working to reduce or eliminate, and we start giving this person the types of supplements that are considered anti-inflammatory, so the types of supplements that are going to promote tolerance? This could very much be a mistake because the person is struggling to clear out a very big viral load. And now we're giving them supplements that's going to tell the immune system to calm down. You don't need to fight that virus anymore. And so we're doing the wrong thing because we are really exposing this person to that viral load. And now they're going to lose the ability to fight it. So we have to be very careful with these types of recommendations that we're making as we treat our patients. So where can the inflammatory process go wrong? You know, I told you we have these, you know, soldiers that are responsible for all different things. What happens if those soldiers are responding to the wrong threat? So all of a sudden now we have an immune system response to a food, which we don't want. You know, maybe it's a food like gluten or dairy, and we want the person to be able to tolerate that. So that's a mistake. Or what happens if the body is sending out the wrong type of assistance? Like I mentioned before, if the body is sending out too many cells that are to promote tolerance, but the person has a bunch of scar tissue that needs removal or a virus that needs removal, then their body is, the immune system is reacting in the wrong way. And there's many times that this can happen in a prolonged chronic inflammatory environment. The body has a way of saying we've had enough, and it tries to stop that inflammatory process. So this can easily happen. And there are things we can do to help the body fight something off for a little bit longer until we can clear this threat out completely, and then tolerance will become appropriate. When we have a really chaotic environment, so if you can imagine the gut, there is a very chaotic immune response going on in the gut kind of all the time, because the gut is constantly having to decipher between commensal bacteria and opportunistic bacteria and food that you're consuming. And so there's just constant immune cells roaming around this area, trying to put fires out and then also, you know, bring in a fire when it's needed. So what happens there is that some signals can get crossed. You know, the way that immune cells communicate with each other is by sending out cytokines. Cytokines are like the immune system's hormone. It's the way that the immune system cells communicate with each other. And they send out cytokines to tell another immune cell kind of how we want to address this one certain process that's taking place right now. And if they, you know, the signals get crossed, and when you're supposed to be tolerating a food, all of a sudden that cell, that immune cell that's deciding to tolerate it, then gets a mixed message and gets the message from the wrong cell that this is actually a war. So now you're going to start creating memory cells to that food because there was a mixed signal. So that could be a big problem. Another problem is that there either could be not enough inflammation when you truly have to fend something off, or too much inflammation. And too much inflammation is really what puts us at risk for autoimmunity. I'm going to get into that in a minute. And then there's just these layers and layers of inflammation. And I always like to think about how we can reduce the burden on the immune system. That's always how I like to phrase this, because I'm going to talk in a minute about some terms that we sometimes use, like, for example, boosting the immune system, that might not be so appropriate. However, I do think reducing unnecessary sources of inflammation, like having an unhealthy diet or high emotional stress or inadequate sleep, reducing unnecessary inflammation and reducing the burden off of the immune system can allow the immune system to work more efficiently, to truly focus on the real threats versus having the immune system kind of really spread thin. And that's where problems can occur. Some misconceptions when we talk about the immune system. Number one is, can we truly boost the immune system? From a couple of slides ago, what I was showing you is that the immune system is comprised of several different immune cells, each with different roles and responsibilities. And when we say the term boost the immune system, which part of the immune system are we boosting? Or can we possibly boost the entire system? You know, when we know that there's cells that want to make tolerance and reduce inflammation, and there's cells that want to promote inflammation, there's cells for all different roles in here in this process. And we're not boosting all of them when we give a person certain foods or supplements. We might be boosting one cell or another, or one polarization, which is something I really get into in my course, but we're not boosting the entire immune system. Second, another misconception is that we can just treat inflammation as though it's one thing. We can just give somebody curcumin human because they have joint pain or scar tissue, or fish oil, or even a bifidobacteria probiotic. And this is also a misconception, because I mentioned this before, that curcumin, some of these supplements, they are promoting of the immune cell responsible for creating tolerance. But what if we are promoting tolerance when there's a real threat? Here, I also mentioned before that one of the roles of the immune system is to inhibit cancer cell growth. What if we're giving somebody too much of these anti-inflammatory known supplements that promote the tolerance type immune cell? What if we're giving them too much of that while they have a small cancer cell that's or a pre-cancer cell? And now all of a sudden we are dampening the immune system's ability to fend off that cancer cell, because we're telling the body to tolerate this thing. So it's very important that we understand the different parts of the immune system and how each of these recommendations we're making is going to affect the person's immune balance. Another misconception is that plant-based diets are always preferred. I could have a whole conversation, a whole lecture on, you know, plant-based versus animal-based diets. And that's really not what I wanted to get into for today, but I just don't want anyone to believe that this is a one size fits all, and that plant-based diet is always preferred in all inflammatory processes to reduce inflammation. Every person is individual, and we truly have to take into account each person's unique physiology to decide the best diet for them. Is the gut truly at the root of all chronic conditions? And I actually kind of question that, because there's certainly many inflammatory processes that don't involve the gut at the start. I'm not saying that the gut doesn't eventually get involved. I think there is a lot of times very much so a connection between gut inflammation and all the other system inflammatory processes, but I wouldn't necessarily say that the gut is always at the root. In fact, you can kind of switch that process around a little bit and say, even in a patient who has dysbiosis, how come the immune system is not more robustly dampening the opportunistic bug or starving the opportunistic bug and helping commensal bacteria survive? So you might think of the gut dysbiosis with inflammation being the root. The root cause is the fact that the immune system is not addressing the dysbiosis effectively, and it's allowing the dysbiosis to continue on. So it's possible that the immune system is at the root and the gut is sort of the secondary effect. The reason I like thinking about that this way is because if you think of the immune system at the root, then we don't necessarily have to take as many steps as we sometimes do to kill bacteria in the gut. We can actually take a step back and focus more on promoting the part of the immune system that can get rid of opportunistic bacteria. We can promote appropriately parts of the immune system versus using things like oregano or garlic or antibiotics that are so harmful to so many beneficial bacteria. Maybe we can hold off on that for a bit while we focus on promoting the right parts of the immune system, which is, I think, a little bit more of a gentle process versus all that sort of killing of opportunistic bugs. The last one that I wanted to say that I consider to be a misconception is that we always have to test and that we shouldn't be guessing. And while I do find advanced testing techniques to be very helpful sometimes, I do believe that there's a lot that we can do to reduce the burden off of the immune system and even use routine blood work to assess a person's immune balance and help them get started moving in the right direction, feeling a bit better. And we can always use more advanced testing down the road if we sort of do hit a roadblock and we kind of are getting to a point where we're not making forward progress anymore, then I certainly will keep advanced testing in the back of my, you know, toolkit. But I think there's a lot we can do first with diet and lifestyle modifications, and even thinking about the immune system balance. We can do a lot of that first so that by the time we do have to use an advanced test, we already know that we've created a healthy diet, that we have possibly removed food triggers, created that foundation of good living, so that whatever test results that we get now will be very relevant to already having a good diet in place and sleeping a little bit better and all of those other things. So what is that connection between inflammation and autoimmunity? I mentioned for just a brief minute that when you have too much inflammation for too long, you're in a place of a higher risk to develop an autoimmune condition. Because the more and more that your immune system is triggered, the more there's just so many immune cells migrating and circulating around that eventually you may create a memory immune cell that recognizes self tissue as foreign, attacking self tissue. The first step in assessing this patient is to understand this one person's individual triggers and mediators. And it's going to be different for every single person. For one person, it might be a traumatic event. Another person, it might be a virus. Another person, it might be being on antibiotics for 6 months, or maybe ongoing emotional stress. And the reason it's important to, as number one first step in this process, to figure out this person's triggers and mediators is because those triggers and mediators are always going to be the same for that person. So let's say this person got their initial autoimmune diagnosis after having been diagnosed with a virus. You know, for this person, anytime in the future that viral load gets out of control, that's going to be their trigger. So it's helpful to understand what that trigger is so that we can prepare this person for the future. We may even have what we consider a flare protocol when we give them certain supplements to inhibit autoimmunity. And we can tell this person in the future, when you ever get diagnosed with a virus or another traumatic event happens in your life, those are going to be times when you want to start taking advantage of this flare protocol, while other times when you're feeling like your life is really well managed with regards to stress and your viral load is at a low level, or you're not on antibiotics and everything is going smoothly in your life, then we might have another protocol for them to just sort of keep things managed, but it wouldn't be as robust a protocol as their flare protocol. So this is the first step in assessing a patient with autoimmunity, is ask them to walk you through that year leading up to the first diagnosis of their autoimmune condition, because all the triggers that happen to them in that year are going to be the triggers that you want to keep in mind for this person moving forward for the rest of their life. So here's a whole list of possible triggers of autoimmunity, genetic predisposition being a part of it for sure, nutrient deficiencies. Maybe certain foods are sensitive to this person, and if they continue to eat things like gluten and dairy, that does trigger a little too much inflammation, and just too much inflammation is increasing this person's risk to develop an autoimmune condition if they already have a genetic predisposition. Traumatic events, viruses, extended use of antibiotics, environmental exposures, listen to the different things that they say to you. If they tell you that they were the type of person who they take trips flying, you know, every single week, so they're always on airplanes, or they live on a golf course that they're constantly being sprayed with pesticides, you know, really keep your ears and eyes open when these people are telling you about their lifestyle, because some of these things can easily be missed and they could be some of the most important factors as we're assessing triggers for autoimmunity, as well as deciding how to move forward to help this person to feel better. The next question is, what is the autoimmune target? This is also really important because I think that we may be getting as far as figuring out a person's triggers and mediators. We can probably get as far as helping somebody improve their diet, maybe remove some of the food triggers or sensitivities that the person has, maybe heal their gut. We get as far as that. But then what happens? The next piece to this puzzle is whatever self tissue was being damaged in this entire process, we need to focus on that tissue. So if the person's tissue in their autoimmune process is the thyroid or the skin or the joints or the kidney, so not only do we have to inhibit the autoimmune process, but then we also have to go that next step and heal the damaged tissue or support that tissue so that it can function better. So what would we need to do to support the thyroid? What would we need to do to support the kidney or the skin or the gut? You know, we really do need to go this extra next step in healing that damaged tissue because it had been attacked for quite some time, probably by the time we're working with this patient. And it's not just going to begin to function appropriately as soon as we remove triggers to autoimmunity. So this is another important step in the process. So what tissue damage requires healing? And then finally, how can we rebalance the immune system so that it stops attacking self tissue? And this is a big part of what I teach in my course, because if you go back to that slide that I showed you before, where I was talking about the different soldiers in the immune system and how each of them have a different role, each of those cells can sometimes be considered one type of immune polarization versus another. And there are certain immune polarizations that are associated with autoimmunity. So is there something that we can do with food or herbal remedies or lifestyle modifications to balance those polarizations out so that they aren't in this constant vulnerability to autoimmunity, which is one of the types of T cell polarizations is autoimmunity. So how can we rebalance the immune system so that they're not stuck in that like sort of polarization that can really hurt them? So here is my 5R reimagined with regards to the immune system. Remove unnecessary triggers and mediators of inflammation. And I like using the words unnecessary because there are times where we need inflammation. We need inflammation when we get exposed to a true threat, and we have to promote that immune response to get rid of a real threat. But I don't want to have unnecessary inflammation that happens because of food or stress or inadequate sleep or sedentary life or etc. Number two, replenish nutrient deficiencies. Again, I really want to emphasize that nutrient deficiencies, if you think about things that trigger inflammation at a cellular level, nutrient deficiencies, a not a healthy diet, even things like not enough oxygen, so hypoxia, so the electron transport chain cannot function appropriately, or anemia, where you don't have enough iron. All of these are triggers to inflammation. So making sure a person is eating a very nutrient-dense, nutrient-diverse diet, promoting good sleep, stimulating the vagus nerve, because the vagus nerve actually inhibits inflammatory cytokines that come from the liver, optimize the immune support for commensal bacteria in the gut, rebalance the immune system to stop that attack on self tissue. And that's what I talked about before with the polarization. And then repair and rebuild, heal damaged tissue. That's what I talked about is like that next step. Not only are we removing triggers and promoting our most healthy lifestyle, but how can we heal the damaged tissue and support it to function appropriately? And finally, we are trying to restore optimal health. I'm really not trying to help patients just get halfway there. I'm trying to promote them to feel their absolute very best optimal health, highest quality of living. So in conclusion, inflammation is at the root of all illness processes. Understanding the immune system gives us the necessary foundation to care for all patients, no matter the diagnosis. Use accessible and individualized tests, nutrients, herbs, lifestyle modifications with every unique patient. Getting halfway there is not enough. The ultimate goal is to achieve optimal health. So quickly, I just wanted to take a minute to introduce you to my 8-week immunology course. It includes 8 weeks of videos, pre-recorded videos, and 8 themed live question and answer sessions. We are going to understand the function of every immune cell and every polarization of the immune system, so that when patients come to us, we can assess the immune process, their inflammation, and address it appropriately. I teach how to use routine blood work. There is so much that we can learn from just a CBC and a complete metabolic count, the metabolic panel. I do address things like a full thyroid panel as a way to continue that conversation, but I use routine blood work as my first step in assessing an immune response and treating a person. And then I could consider those advanced testings maybe 3 or 4 weeks down the line or further if we do hit a roadblock. But in the initial phases, I really think we can make the most of just routine blood work. And then we have to individualize your food and supplement recommendations so that you are appropriately addressing that inflammatory process, so that we are not promoting tolerance when a person needs more of an inflammatory process, and vice versa. We don't want to promote the inflammatory process when the person really needs tolerance. So these are all the things that we do need to better understand so that we are truly helping our patients and not causing more harm than good. So we're going to talk in my course about topics like conflict resolution. And that is, it goes back to what I was describing before, where we have those immune cells that are responsible for conflict, for bringing in more support from the immune system, for killing something that's a true threat. And then we have to talk about the resolution phase. And these two phases have to happen at the appropriate times, because if they don't, if the conflict goes on for too long, if the resolution doesn't happen at the right time, or if resolution goes on for too long, the body could really be in an inflammatory state for an excessive amount of time. We're going to discuss the difference between the innate and the adaptive immune system and all the different cells involved there. We're going to talk about antigen presentation. What does it mean when an innate immune cell, like a macrophage or dendritic cell, passes off a foreign pathogen to another immune cell? What does that really mean? How does that engage more and more immune cells to promote the prolonging of inflammation? We're going to talk about T cell polarization and how, if we have an impact on one polarization of the immune system, we could possibly help somebody balance their inflammatory process so that they're no longer at risk or high risk for continued autoimmunity. We're going to talk about fibrosis and autophagy. We're going to analyze routine blood work. And every single week of this process, I will be introducing you to a case study so that we can truly implement the information that is being taught in the course in real life case scenarios so that you can use this information with your patients starting immediately after the course. And I just wanted to take one more minute to talk about the themed Q&A sessions. They are live and they will be recorded and archived for your viewing on your own time. But I just wanted to mention that I start my Q&A sessions from a cellular level. So we'll be talking about how insufficiencies at the level of the mitochondria are triggers for inflammation. And then as we move forward throughout the Q&A sessions, we take our broader and broader step back so that then we see how inflammation is also at the root of all these other chronic conditions. So we talk about inflammation from a mitochondrial standpoint and then a cellular, tissue, and organ level. There is a discussion group that we're constantly able to connect in there. And I do ask for everybody who, especially if you cannot attend the question answer session, that you put your questions in the discussion forum, but for that question answer session so that I can answer all your questions, even if you're not attending the live Q&A session. Finally, just to give you the organization of the course, every week you will be able to view about 60 minutes of pre-recorded videos. There will be a live themed question and answer session every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. Eastern time. And those will be recorded and archived for your viewing on your own time. And all content for the course will be available for up to one full month following the end of the course. So I just wanted to put my contact information here. Feel free to take a screenshot of this screen if you want to copy down that registration link for my immunology course. Again, it's called Immunology for Dietitians and Nutritionists. You go to that course registration link right there. You can find a ton more information about the course, but please feel free to email me anytime you have any questions or interest in the topics and the course coming up.